Podcasting 2.0 for September 27th, 2024, episode 195, Grep Pipe. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Podcasting 2.0. When it's Podcasting 2.0, you know it's a Friday, usually. It is time once again to talk about podcasting, everything going on, the past, the present, and of course, the future. This is the boardroom, and we are the only boardroom that doesn't shut down companies we acquire. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who ensures we will never succumb to entropy. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
The next company we acquire will be the first company that we acquire. I wonder if any company out there, the only way we could acquire a company is if they would take like
stock,
like credit.
Credit. Yeah. Do you take
credit?
Do you take Visa debit?
Yeah, like Zelensky, like credit.
I just want some credit, man. Just give me some credit for some bumps. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. It is time once again for the board meeting. I am ready. I'm very excited. Excited to talk to you. We never talk. Dave and I only talk on Fridays, pretty much. Pretty much. Sometimes a weekly call, but... How you doing, my brother?
I mean, the last couple of weeks have been, we've had a bunch of calls with people.
Oh, man.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Meetings. Meetings. Who likes meetings?
I know. But we had our follow-up meeting with Clicks.
Yes.
Yeah.
C-L-I-X.
Yeah. Those guys might be the first company we've had a meeting with. They might actually integrate something. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And that was a nice meeting because we talked about some things for about 20, 25 minutes. And then their, I don't know who he is, CEO, president, whoever it was like.
Yeah, I think he's the CEO.
CEO. He was like, all right, I think we got some good stuff done. It's been about 25 minutes. Let's all get off this call. I was like, okay.
That was the same call I had the last time. It's like 30 minutes. It's like the only guys I think I've ever talked to that schedule 30 minutes and do 30 minutes.
Right? And, I mean, it was not a minute over 30. And I was like, yes. This is great.
Couldn't be happier to get off that call. Yeah.
No. As I actually was just thinking about some stuff. And then he's like, all right, time to go. I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
Don't worry, Dave. Everybody saw you drifting off. You're like, uh-oh, we're losing Dave. Time to end the meeting.
Hit the mic.
Yeah. Time to end the meeting. Oh, man.
I heard you on the new media show.
I had a good time on the new media show.
In.
Yeah. Well, it was... So Rob had pinged me a couple weeks ago. He says, hey, man.
Hey, man. Rob talks just like that.
Hey, man. Do you want to be on the board of advisors for the rock and roll, the podcasting hall of fame? I'm like, no. No.
Of course. You would not in a million years would you ever do that.
No. Well, also, you know, you and I, we made our own little pact a long time ago. We're not going to be advisors. We're not going to take stock from anybody. We're just going to be completely independent. Therefore, we're clean, baby. We're like, we're like virgin snow. We are clean. I said, I can't be a part of some, it always becomes political, those things. And by the way, you know, outside of the very first award shows, and I can see the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's a number of people who, if you want to have a Hall of Fame, probably belong there. But it's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I used to go to those dinners in New York. Was $1,000 a plate at the Waldorf. It would be, you'd have Phil Spector, you'd have Mick Jagger, you'd have the Kinks, you know, just everyone dressed in tuxedos, eating rubber chicken, big jam at the end with Paul Schaefer and the World's Most Dangerous Band, and everybody would get up on stage. And then, you know, a couple of years later, it's like a 3-hour MTV special with ABBA being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's like, no, that's what always happens. You know, rock and roll started at a certain point, and, you know, you can only put so many people in who were there at the very beginning, and it's just, no. And then so Rob comes back, he says, hey, man, well, then I understood. Would you like to be on the new media show?
Like, that was your consolation prize.
That was second prize. You get to talk for an hour and a half on the new media show. What, did you hear the whole thing?
I'm about 2/3 through it right now. It's a good show. I like it.
Yeah, I think the Roadcaster was crackling. I'm not sure.
I didn't hear it.
I listened critically, and I'm like, oh. I rebooted it right away.
you're too critical of your own audio. You always have some problem with your audio when nobody else can really.
Can you ever be too critical of the audio, though? Can you ever really be too critical?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yeah. You can. Have you heard some of these podcasts?
Yeah.
Yes, you can be too critical of your audio.
Although I tell everybody.
If you compare yourself, at a certain level, your audio is just completely acceptable. Like it's just more than adequate.
Yeah.
It's like the 20% rule or whatever, compared to the other 80% of everything out there. It's like a relief to hear your show.
Well, I always like it when I hear people saying that I've ruined other podcasts for them, but I always take great pride in that. Like, I can't listen to these other podcasts. You've ruined it.
I totally agree with
that. But luckily, and I will say this, even though I'm not a fan of it, but I think it's good that many podcast apps have some kind of processing in it, you know, so that you can, you know, equalize the levels a little bit and make it sound mm-hmm. better, which, to be fair, is what we had on our stereos, our towers back in the day. We had treble and bass. You know, and if
Jared F said, if you want bad audio, listen to a Bitcoin podcast. That is totally true.
I got a sweet email from this guy. He's in Austin, actually, and he's doing a sports podcast video, and it's four guys. And I'm like, and he gave me his gear list. He said, could you please help me? Trey is his name. Can you please help me? I can't get it to sound right. And I tune into this thing. And this got like four different mics. He's running a Mackie board and only two have compressors on them. So one mic is like totally completely overmodulated. The other guys are coming in through that mic. I'm like, ma'am, do you have a budget? Because we got to get you something else. And actually, I said, if you got two, she said, well, should I get the Roadcaster Pro? Like, you know, it's a little overkill for what you're doing, but for the same cost, you could get two Audio Sigma Pod Mobiles. They will solve your problems. I've been hearing people use the Pod Mobile, and man, especially in a boomy room or a kind of a rough environment, it really, really does the business. I am so proud of Fernando.
Would you go as far as to say that the audio quality you get out of those are better than the Roadcaster?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
The microphone processing. Yeah. And it's simpler. Huh. It's simpler. You have a lot now that I can't really use it because I have to be able to process Dvorak or you coming back in, and it doesn't have that functionality.
It doesn't have the extra audio interface.
It does have the extra audio interface, but there's no processing on it. Honestly, you know, most people won't want to do that for interview situations. It works just fine. And maybe in a future version, he can put that in, but it doesn't matter. I mean, for just two people doing a podcast, or if you connect two of them together, because you can link them, you can do four people. I mean, I would go with that time after time. And even though I was tempted, I will not be buying the Roadcaster video.
Wow, you were tempted for that? Wow.
From a gear perspective?
Just because the gear flood and you wanted it.
Yeah, because it came out, I immediately got the manual and I'm reading it in bed and I'm reading like, oh man. I was like, if I were to build this, this is exactly what I would build.
Things you read in bed. That is not one of the things I thought of on the list.
It's very high on my list. I'm zooming in on diagrams like, okay, so this is how that works. And I thought, maybe. And then I'm like, what am I doing? I'm getting sucked in.
Go to sleep.
Then I just know, I'm about to get cameras and lights. And I'm like, what am I thinking? No. And I was like, I could do the but then I have to do clips. And I have to do video. No. It's just not worth it. Although the gear itself is nice. I mean, it's a nice piece of kit. And I don't think $11.99 is too much for what they're offering.
No, I'm sure. That seems, I mean, in that market, when you get in the video market, everything gets so much more expensive anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're probably going up against things like the TriCaster and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, they blow all of that out of the water. I mean, I haven't kept up with everything, but... We're far from the days of the Amiga video toaster, my friend. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Video is all great until you forget that your camera's on and you pick your nose. Then you wish you were that. Audio only.
There's podcast. That. There's that. Now, I love audio so much. I really do. It's the best. It's the easiest. You know. So anyway, I thought we had a good time on the New Media Show. I thought we had some good chats about podcasting 2.0, and you know, I did my little spiel about value for value and told people a bit about the No Agenda Show, which will be celebrating 1,700 episodes next Thursday, and 17 years, and we never had a fight in October 26th, I think. 17 years.
That's how. So one thing you said during, it was fun to hear you kind of go over some of the history of No Agenda. I think I started listening to No Agenda. It was early. It was in the hundreds. It was maybe episode.
Oh, like really? Late. That early, huh?
Yeah, very wow. early. It was maybe 150.
How did you find episode. It? How did you? Oh, we already knew each other, I guess, through the Weiner projects.
Yeah. Well, when the Weiner project started, I became a listener and then immediately dove into the Weiner project. So it was, I think that's roughly like those were concomitant with each other. But I think, it was in the hundreds somewhere, but I think I came over from one of the Twit shows just because I heard Dvorak.
Yeah. That Twit is on its last legs, man.
Oh, it's
sad. On its last legs.
It's so I was there for a lot of the history of it. When did you move to LA?
My second
or not
wife.
LA, but
my second wife. First time frame.
Is that your segment thing?
Okay. Yes. First wife, second wife. Okay.
It was around that time.
I moved to LA in 2008. No, 2000. Yeah. In that time frame, 2008. Yeah. It must've been in the hundreds, 2008, when people were sending me free Bitcoin and so saying, this has a future, Adam.
I'd been listening for a while. I'd been listening for a while already. And by the time the episode hit where you were interviewed about Michael Jackson on like CBS or something.
CNBC. That was legendary. CNBC. That was legendary. Yeah,
I don't remember whatever year that was. Well, I'd been listening for about a year at that point, I think.
Let me see. I think I have, it was, let me see. Oh, this is, I actually have that clip. You want to hear that clip?
Yeah. Because they cut you off, right?
Yeah. This is Michael Jackson died. Yes. And it hung up on me. Michael Jackson died and they called me for some unknown reason. Like, oh, let's get that MTV guy on.
I mean, there seems to be an insatiable appetite for this.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm amazed as, you know, as you're showing the footage and everyone seems to be showing the footage of these rehearsals just 2 days before his death. You know, here's a guy who clearly was in great physical shape. He had 30-40 concerts coming up in the O2 Arena in London. That's a huge production. You have to be preparing yourself a year in advance, at least physically. You can't put on a show like that without an enormous insurance coverage, which includes a tremendous amount of physical testing. So I'm amazed at what happened, that I know that there's breaking news about some form of medicinal drugs that were found in his home. I'm amazed that no one is looking at a murder angle on this.
Well, we shall see. There's much more like to come on this story.
The pregnant pause. And they get rid of me.
It's like, cut. Done.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah, I can't believe he said that. This man's horrible. We'll never have him back on again, ever.
Yeah, and you said that, and then people went to jail a few months later.
For killing him. Exactly.
Yeah, for killing him. Crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know,
it was good to hear you go over that history, though. That was good.
Oh, I'm glad you like. But everyone should have a listen. I will point out that they didn't put me in the splits. Thanks.
No, they left you out?
Yeah, unlike your board meeting, which always puts our guests in the splits. Always.
You should put Todd and Rob in the splits just to heap coals upon their head for the
yes,
for the slide.
Heap coals upon their head. I think that is Proverbs 27, actually. Maybe 26.
Burning coals, yes.
Burning coals. I didn't hear them promo it on Power. On the Pod News Weekly Review, which I did have a chance to listen to. Tomorrow, there's a virtual summit. The Podcasting 2.0 virtual summit taking place.
What is a virtual summit? Like, what is this?
What is
this? This is probably something that I should have known, that I've been told about five times and just don't remember.
Let me see if I can find it. The Podcasting 2.0 virtual summit. Live and online in the podcast apps. I believe Barry from Pod Home is, he's probably doing the feeds. Oscar Mary will be there. I'll be there. DJ Valerie B. Love will be there. She's pretty good at the value for value stuff. And it starts off, I think, tomorrow at 11 a.m. our time.
Oh, is this the one that Sam is doing?
No.
Did Sam set this up?
No, this is not the Sam thing. This is something else,
okay.
I think. But if it was Sam, then we would have had 20 minutes of promo. That's why I know it's not,
that's
the,
true. Yeah,
it's
that's
not
true.
The Sam thing. That should be fun. And then we had a...
You're going to be on there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm opening it up, and Valerie B. Love is going to... we're doing a fireside chat.
Summits invoke the idea of...
The pinnacle. The top.
Conversation, yeah,
yes. Well,
conversation.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it's
like
it's a conversation.
Okay.
Unlike the, after I did the new media show, I had a really busy day. I had promised this group who are doing a podcast knowledge festival. I know.
Cool.
In Holland, I said, "Oh, you know, can you do a little video for us?" Like, yeah, I can do that.
Like a promo video?
Well, no, like a mini keynote, basically.
Oh wow!
Okay. Let me see. And so then all of a sudden, I'm
hello, Alamal, Adam Curry here in Texas, open video manier by Julie by the BNR Podcast Kennis Festival.
It was hard.
I can understand a lot of the things you're saying.
Yeah, like podcast festival, Adam Curry, Texas.
I'm on board. I speak Dutch now.
You do. You're a Dutch master. So it was very, very, very... I did 13 minutes in one take. I was pretty surprised. Like, oh, well, all right. Well,
you're a pro.
I was doing video anyway. You know, I was doing video the whole day, so... And that'll be my video. That'll be it for video this
week. For the year.
Yeah. For the year. You know, we were talking about, I think we mentioned, well, we've been talking about entropy and AI and stuff. And I think we talked about in the last board meeting where I said, I'm all in on just flooding everything with AI, flooding social media with AI. So the models collapse. And so, you know, that the companies go broke trying to keep their models clean. And mm-hmm. there's a term mm-hmm. for it. There's a term for it now. It's called AI slop.
Oh, this is like this idea is like insistence is resistance. You're like
yes.
You know, I insist on using these products in order for them to destroy themselves.
Yes.
You're having a front row seat for the self-destruction.
Yes. And I want to take credit for it. I did that.
You know what Grok refers to me, you and me and everybody else. Grok considers us to be local pockets of decreased entropy. Otherwise known as humans.
Local pockets of decreased entropy.
Yeah, did you see Brian of London like posted a question
yes,
to
Grok? Oh, yes, I did see that. Yeah, that makes sense. And I was thinking like, social media is going to become unusable. X will probably be first to go because of their very tight integration with Grok. But people are already seeing huge problems with reviews So any review website or any product website that has reviews is now filling up with AI slop. Comments everywhere are being filled with AI slop. It's all, you know, just a different version of comment spam. I mean, I'm just waiting for text messages, although that's kind of already there, I guess. Political AI slop is creeping in. Places where people can upload stories, you know, where writers are writing short stories, people are uploading AI slop. And of course, once it's up there, then it gets re-ingested and then, you know, hold on, you know, buckle up, because it just gets worse and worse. And then, as I'm getting ready for the board meeting, I'm like, you know, I think I'm just going to move to IRC for my social stuff. IRC is so
exclusively
good. Well, I mean, for real Signal, you know, because first of all, it's ephemeral. I don't care. I don't need to see what someone posted 5 days ago. That's part of the problem, is what someone posted 5 days ago on X. I just want real-time interaction. I want to be the IRC is such a rich environment. If you just even look at our own IRC servers that we're all using, which is the Void Zero, you know, zeronode.net. I mean, you can have your own room. You can have moderation capabilities. You can add cool bots. I mean, it could be a great place for me to just post, you know, when I have a new show, post it there. People get, you can determine what nicks or handles alert you to certain stuff. And it's, and I think because it's ephemeral, AI will, you know, you can block AI out. You can just kick it off. It's not part of a platform. It's just, you know, a protocol. And I just thought, you know, maybe I just move over to that.
It makes sense. It's like Slack. And I think people like that for that reason. Cause you don't, yeah, IRC is. Slack. Slack is just IRC. That's all it is.
It is
skin on top of IRC.
Right, but again, it's another platform, and someone else controls it. And IRC, you can have your own server, and it federates. I guess Slack can federate too, in a way. But I think you're probably right. Slack is, in a way, just the fancy skin on an IRC server. Maybe it even started that way. I don't know.
It always looked that way to me. It had the same. I always thought that it was just a skin, but I fell into this trap too of like having to, you know, I want to own my content and I want to have my own, you know, server for being on social media and all these kinds of things. And the other day I just went back and in my podcastindex.social profile and just set my history to auto delete itself after like a certain number of weeks, like maybe a month or so or 90 day. I can't remember what I set it to, but I saw that I had like 20 something thousand posts on podcastindex.social.
What a waste.
And it
of
made me
time.
Depressed.
I'm always, you know, whenever Tina's posting something on, she got rid of her ex. I'm very proud of her for doing that. She's like,
oh, she did.
Wow, I says, I'm shutting that down. It makes me too anxious. And so she's always been on Instagram and she'll post something like, why are you working for Zuckerberg? Why are you making his platform more valuable? Why? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, well, of course there's no right answer to that question.
There's not. No.
But I will say that Zuckerberg has a pretty interesting strategy. He's kind of on the AI slot bandwagon in a way. You know, Meta's whole AI play is the Llama model, and they're just putting out open source. And, you know, they intend to, once it's, you know, once people have figured out how to do stuff with it, I use Llama on my Start 9, and it's useful for some things. You know, then they're going to create applications that you can put on top of your own AI models. I think that's actually the way to go.
Yeah, I think they want to blow that whole thing up.
Yeah,
like you said, and then boost the other, you know, the Google angle. I've always been of the opinion, and I continue to be, that Google is bringing these things, these AI things out, in order to, and like visibly, publicly, very, very publicly failing at them, just to show, just to strike a lack of confidence in the market.
Well, this whole thing, you know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because they, they developed so much of what of the transformer technology that that is the source behind all of these all these models, and they but they never really did anything with it, and it's because they know that it's long term not a viable like it's. See, here's the problem with even discussing stuff like this is you can, you have to be so nuanced in how you describe its shortcomings and its limitations. Because if you just say AI is not viable, that's not exactly accurate because we, you know, we can all point to use cases. You can sit there and dream up 10 or 12 use cases where it would make your life simpler in a certain use case, but if you take it and you write it large and you say large language models that are based on public data sets from the internet, that is of such limited lifespan.
Yeah.
If just like what the Grok thing that Deb Brian posted. So I was that phrase local pocket of decreased entropy that, you know, I'm like, okay, well, let's just stick that in quotes. Let's take this term, local pocket of decreased entropy, put it in quotes and do a Google search from it. Where do you think that that came from?
Grok.
No, I mean, where did Grok get it from?
From Google, I'm sure.
Reddit.
Oh, Reddit. Yes, of course. Well, Reddit is selling their data. That's one of their main revenue drivers now is selling their user data to the AI companies.
Yeah, so you can go on, you can find this term. I was like, that is a very specific term.
That's such a good point.
And if you quote search it, you can find that came from the local pocket of decreased entropy is a term that Grok's large language model got from a few posts on Reddit.
And yeah, I see it right here. I see it right here under evidence for creator.
Right. Yeah, it's under r/evolution.
Yes. And so, yes, it is.
And so it's not gleaning this data from experts or vetted materials. This is just coming from people discussing things on the internet.
Right.
And at some point it's going to come from people discussing things where they're injecting AI output, and then you're going to start to see the model collapse accelerate.
Yeah. And what this really does is it destroys Google search capability.
What do you mean? Like flesh that out.
Well,
I agree with you, but I want to hear how you describe it.
Well, so Google is just always crawling the internet, and so it's picking all this stuff up. So it's picking up, you know, it'll pick up the transcript of this podcast.
Yeah.
When it comes to local pockets of decreased entropy, it'll see links pointing towards this podcast and this transcript. It'll, you know, push it up the ladder, and you know, before you know it, we've birthed a meme. You know, but it's not necessarily useful if someone is, you know, looking for some information.
LPDEs, we've, you know, local pockets of decreased
PDEs.
Entropy.
PDEs. Yeah. I'm a pocket of decreased entropy.
Well, this actually fits back into what the, just let me actually pull that up because this is an interesting sort of, the whole idea, what Brian asked was, how does Darwinian evolution producing increasing complexity go against entropy? And so the answer was this long thing with bullet points, and a lot of it is stuff that, you know, is already known and discussed and debated by actual people. So like, yeah, energy flow, longer time scales. We already talked, you know, we talked about that last week, you know, just giving something more time doesn't help you in this issue. But this sort of the main thrust of the argument that is being formulated by this AI is that, or by this language model synthesis, is that it's not a contradiction to have evolutionary progress, that would be ascent with modification, because even though it does defy entropy, it's not because you have an injection of energy from an outside system. So this would be the sun. Mm-hmm. So the Earth is not a closed system. It's an open system that gets its energy, that gets an energy input from the sun. But, you know, this, and I'm going to pull this back to what you're saying in just a second, but the more energy, well, I mean, first of all, life is built from energy and information, not just energy itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would argue a third requirement as well, which would be a will, but we'll, you know, you can leave that alone for now. So, you know, information has two possible aspects to it. You have a physical representation of that information, and then you have its meaning. You know, information isn't just bits.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bits and their meaning. So let's you know, imagine that you took a SSD drive and you launched it into space, into, you know, where it had direct exposure to like solar flare radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a few years, you brought it back down to Earth and it had bit flipped like crazy because it's getting penetrated by this radiation all the time. You would have lots of bits. You would have lots of ones and zeros on this drive, but they would be completely meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
So the information is not information until it has meaning to it. There's a term for, you know, like information without meaning. We call that a bug.
and you need to route around it.
Yeah. Or if you have information without meaning in your DNA, that's called cancer.
Wow. So
information without meaning is not information. It's something else.
Hmm.
So that, you know, that's the first part of that. But then energy without direction is destructive. It's not constructive. So if you just inject energy into a system, you're more likely to kill
the system, to radiate.
Yeah. You're going to increase entropy, not decrease it. Think about hurricanes and solar flares. These are large influxes of energy,
mm-hmm.
and they take a beautiful wooden, you know, like an armoire or a chest or something that's beautifully decorated. Take it and sit it out in the direct sun energy, you know, barrage, like in a desert for a few years, and you'll see that it is a destructive process.
Mm-hmm.
Energy influx does not build, it destroys. So like information degrades over time as well. So you have to have, you know, you have an influx of energy from the sun, but if it's undirected and it's directed by it has to be directed by the information. So the energy is coming from outside the system, but also the information is, I would say that information comes from God.
Yes.
In a directive process. But you have to have those two elements. So the same way with AI, you know, you have this influx of energy coming into and information coming into it. Those two things, if not properly directed, are destructive. And people are trying to control it.
Right. There you
go. Put these guardrails on it. But ultimately, we're going to prove to be incapable of doing that.
But man, people are going to make a lot of money on those stocks in the meantime.
Which is
really
yeah.
what it's all about. Yeah.
Yeah. This week in entropy.
Yeah. I move to some structured content here. The podcast standards meeting they held in Washington, D.C., published their wishes for moving forward.
Oh, you're talking about the blog post?
Yes.
They have a blog, but yeah, let me copy and then stick
yeah,
in the chat.
Yeah, and so they have, first they celebrated the podcast pod role adoption, which I think is good. It hasn't mm-hmm. really surfaced in many places yet, but people are creating them on their feeds, which is good. We do it on this show.
Oh, I have something to tell you, by the way.
Well, what are you drinking, first of all?
This is a LaCroix Pure unflavored mineral water.
Okay. You want to tell me something first before I move on? So you don't
forget?
Write it down.
I won't forget.
Okay. I'm reading here from the blog post, enhancing the podcast, the person tag. We spend a lot of meeting brainstorming how it could improve the podcast person tag. We explored the idea of attaching a GUID to each person with a central service or endpoint for storage. This approach, similar to Gravatar's role in avatar management, could significantly enhance the tag's utility. We touched on this briefly on the last at the last board meeting. The utility would be improved identification of individuals across different apps and services, increased adoption by podcast hosting companies and apps, and new opportunities for discoverability and cross-pollination, and which I think is good. I mean, I would love, congratulations to Pocket Cast. You know, they've integrated the transcript tag. So this namespace has legs. We have liftoff. We have real liftoff here. Russell Harrower. it's a tough and a harrower.
It is a tough one.
It's I can't say drawer. You know, drawer. Harrower. Russell Harrower. He flagged some issues with the current person tag, and I want to talk to you about it for a second, since no one seems to have replied to him.
I have not read it yet. I hadn't had time.
Well, he says, so first he says he has some, you know, stuff about, well, you know, tags should be flexible, blah, blah. He feels that he actually wrote an issue. While the podcast person tag is a great tag to have, it's missing key requirements that make it a valuable tag for podcast players and applications to match a podcast guest or host with other podcasts they're featured on. The current person tag documentation does not allow for a podcast hosting company to link to a person ID or social interact/social to a person. This means that podcast players may unknowingly say that Russell featured on Y podcast because the person's name matched other documents in that podcast player. So he's talking about unique identifier for a person. Now, the podcast person tag does have an optional href link, which in my mind could be used or should be used for that. In fact, whenever we have guests on the show, I always put a link to the person's website of their company, or if they have a personal profile page, or if all else fails, to the podcastindex.social profile. Do we need to change anything in this tag? So he's basically talking about being an authentic. So he's basically saying we need a kind of what Podcast Standards is saying. We need a GUID for each individual person. And how do we handle that?
Yeah. So I replied to Alberto sent me an email and
back channel.
he sent me, it wasn't really a back channel. He sent me an email and was like, hey, you know, heads up on this blog post, essentially. Here's the one that you're referring. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, you know, can we get some input on this? And I'm glad he did that, because I would not have seen the blog post otherwise. And I mean, my reply to him was virtually identical to what you just said. I replied to him and said, you know, I'm a couple of things. I feel like We would be, you know, of course the Podcast Index would be glad to host any sort of central list, you know, like we could put it on, you know, make a GitHub repo for this centralized list, so you could like do a lookup of people that were your guests who have been on other shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's totally fine, and we would be happy to host that centrally for the community.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and everybody could contribute as well. Then the idea of the GUID, my thought was exactly what you just said, that the href, it should be unique. Yeah. Already. You know, URLs are essentially are GUIDs because they have to be globally unique. Mm-hmm. So if we just, it's good to, for, I feel like it's good for it to remain, for the href to remain optional. Mm-hmm. Because there is this, for the tag to be flexible in that, for what it is, you want it to be flexible. You want to be able to say, you want to just be able to throw a person tag in there and have it just work.
Yeah.
But then if you want it to be globally unique, like a Gravatar does this with your email address.
Yeah, but we just don't really want to rely on Gravatar, do we?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because you could, I really don't think so. Because it requires an email address. And I just don't know that, I mean, nobody wants to associate, there's just a real hesitancy to associate your email address with podcast stuff. And just,
right.
I don't know. I just don't want to go down
good
that route.
Good point. Good point. After we got rid of it from RSS feeds, now we want to reintroduce it.
Excellent yeah, point. Bring it back. Yeah.
Excellent point. I mean, I, but, yeah.
You know, that href should be unique, right?
I guess what Russell is saying is that it should be unique. It should be the same across the board. So when you have me on as a guest, I would prefer you to point it to my podcastindex.social profile, but someone else may put in podcastindex.org or curry.com or something else.
I mean, I think that's the protocol itself having the href as the unique identifier
is fine.
Is fine, and that solves the problem of uniqueness. The problem of like the idea of wanting it always to be that Adam Curry has this href.
Yeah,
that can be solved with a central lookup.
Hey man, I want it to be my Noster npub.
You can totally do that, bro.
Thanks, bro. My Noster npub. That's my identity in the world.
It's like so that. There's kind of like two like angles to that desire. There's the href solves the, makes it possible to do that. But then having a central lookup repository makes it sort of dependable that you're always going to get the same href.
Right.
And then just, you know, like, just like a Gravatar, if you want to have multiple identities, you can just use multiple email addresses. The same here. Like if
right,
I may want to appear on a podcast
and have a
in
different
my personal,
yeah, different identity.
Yeah, like in my personal capacity,
you can be,
and then have a different
Dawina.
Identity.
For my you can profession. Be Dawina on some other podcast. Yes. You can be a woman.
Yes, I could. That's right. That's for my my MMORPG identity. It's yeah. my female. What you know, whatever. Yeah, but that's so you could just have. You know, you could have if I was on for my day job, if I was on a, you know, a podcast for, you know, tax stuff, then, you know, I may use a different profile that points that's more relevant. And right. So then I would have these two identities. Right. I don't know. I just think the href solves it.
I don't know too.
That we need to introduce a GUID.
No, I don't think so. But if people want to ramp up something on well, wouldn't that just be a table? Don't we already have that, basically? Don't we already have these rows in the table for the podcast person tag?
We do. Yeah, and we could seed that list by just dumping that table out.
Yeah.
And there have an go. Initial lookup list.
Repository created.
It's done.
It's yeah. done. We did it. Was that fast enough, Russell?
I mean, when he's talking about social aspect, is he talking about like your social media handles or something?
I guess so. Yeah. Is NPUB, okay. That's the NPUB deal.
I guess, Well, see that we know we need a social tag here. And so I'm thinking, and we have yet to do that. So I feel like that's probably the solution to that part of what he's saying.
Yeah.
You've got the central lookup GUID thing, and then you have like, okay, but how do we attach like social media thing to that? And I feel like those are two separate questions.
I agree. That's part of a profile.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we've talked about a social tag, you know, like a podcast colon social tag.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is its own tag, and then you define it and attach it to a person in some way.
Yeah.
Or maybe even the, this is interesting. Maybe the person tag could even, okay, I'm getting sucked in now. Let me
get a look at this. Yes, you are. Sorry. By the way, if anyone wants to join my new social network, I'm hashtag Adam on on zeronode.net. that's my new social. That's where you can find me. That's where you can interact with me.
Hashtag social IRC.
Yes. CERC. Yeah. Yeah. IRC federates, right? IRC federates. You can you can get to it from other servers. It's kind of cool.
It's a relays.
Yes, relays.
Uses relays. It's just like Noster.
Gee, only 28 years old.
publishers expect. Okay, I'm looking at the person tag right now.
Hey citizen, first one. Hey citizen, first one in my social network.
That wouldn't fit. No, my idea wouldn't fit. Never mind. I retract it. I take it back. The social, yeah, I think we could do a social thing where we have like, where we could attach even wrap tags in a social tag.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know what to think about it.
Okay.
Let's think about it.
That was my hot namespace talk for the day. Let me see what else I had on this thing. AI content identification. Oh boy.
Oh yeah, that should be easy, right?
We discussed the possibility of introducing a tag to indicate AI generated audio content in podcasts. The idea was inspired by YouTube's
what's the raspberry for?
Who cares? The idea was inspired by YouTube's recent implementation of asking creators if their content makes a real person appear to say, you know, it does. You know, you might as well just auto tag everything because everything's gonna contain AI generated audio, whether you know it or not. That's the future. That's the future. Well,
I know Apple for sure wants that because Ted mentioned it, that they want some way of just tagging,
all going to be AI. It will all contain elements of AI. It's unavoidable. That's my point. That's the future.
But how far do you go with that? I mean, like No Agenda may play a clip that has some AI in it in a mocking fashion.
Yeah.
But you're not, but that doesn't mean AI generated content.
No, it says makes a real person appear to say or do something they didn't say or do. So now they're into the misinformation game.
No, I don't.
So you might as well, I mean, No Agenda is arguably 50% misinformation.
ISO that, please.
I played this song on the pre-stream. This one, I'll just play a little bit. Let me get to the vocals. There you go.
Cody Wilson forged the way. Stark followed, led the fray.
I kind of like this song. I just pulled it off of the split kit, and
guns in hand,
right away, I was like, "That's AI! It's AI!" And I hadn't even realized it was AI. Like, I like the guitar. I like the riff. It's pretty good when it comes to AI.
Is it AI for real?
No, everyone says it is. Says it sounds like it coming straight out of Sumo, which probably is.
Sumo. I don't know what that is.
Oh yeah, Sumo is the Sumo's getting sued. Sumo. Sumimo.
Oh, is that the one that enabled that Spotify fraudster guy to do all that?
Probably.
Work?
Yeah, probably. But by the way, it wasn't that it was AI. It was defrauding the streams. That was the problem.
Well, yeah, auto-tune, it will make you sound like AI, but I mean, if we go back, if Cher released her auto-tune song today, everybody would say it's AI, but it was may auto-tune. Not be. It may just be auto-tune.
Yeah, that's possible. It's possible. Most songs today are auto-tune. But anyway, I don't like this.
Live shows are auto-tuned.
Pretty much.
Now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my theremin is auto-tune. That's why it sounds so good. That's why
you can jam.
Yeah, that's how I hit the notes. But you know, if you want to get into the game of asking creators to tag their content if it makes a real person appear to say or do something they didn't say or do.
They will never do that.
You want to highlight parody, but it may not be parody. It's like now you're in the misinformation, disinformation game. That's a very slippery slope, people. You don't want to get into that.
I don't have a problem with a general tag that just says this is all AI.
Mm.
I mean, that to me, that sounds, because we do that. That's similar to what happens on the Fediverse when you can tag an account as a bot and you say, okay, this is not a human. And it's sometimes helpful to know that. You could say, well, this show, if you're putting out a feed that's every episode is generated by Notebook LM,
mm-hmm.
well, then you could just tag that as, okay, this is an auto-generated feed.
I mean, I actually subscribe to an AI podcast,
mm-hmm.
which is the Automated Daily.
I'll
play it for you so you can hear what it sounds like.
Welcome to the Automated Daily, top news edition. The podcast created by generative AI. Now, we're not just delivering the news. We're empowering you to become a storyteller. Create your own podcast.
I have this auto-skip
because
I'm annoyed by hearing this every single time.
Email us, info@theautomateddaily.com.
How do you auto-skip it?
Today is 27.
Oh, in Podcast Guru, you can say just skip, you know, start 8 seconds in.
Here you go. So this is
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has raised alarms about the rising sea levels, describing them as a rising tide of misery.
You know, it's not an rising tide of misery. It's not an offensive voice. It's 3 minutes, you know, just gives me some, I know where the headlines are coming from, but they also do a Hacker News edition, an AI edition. And that's tedious stuff that no one will do. And I'm like, oh, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with just listening to you read some headlines and some summaries. And of course, I love it because this creates more AI slop ultimately.
Well, which is your mission.
That is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
There's a bunch of these in the index, and these should all, like, I would not have a problem with there being a little, like right now it says news and daily are the two little badges on it.
Mm-hmm.
The two categories.
Right.
And so if you had another little badge out here that just said automated or AI.
Yeah.
Generated or something like that. Cause then you could index on it and say, okay, I'm looking for some shows, but I don't want AI shows.
Right. Right.
I don't have a problem. I think that's a fine idea.
Okay. Yes. If it's just because the show is generated by AI, but not if it's pretending to be something that someone said that it wasn't true. Like, come on.
Nah. Yeah. Because then you're immediately going to open up the can of worms of it's selective editing, and you're just going to get all this. It's just, no, yes. I agree.
And by the way, I agree, Harv Hat, CGI. I'm calling it should be CGA, computer generated audio. It's not AI by any stretch of the imagination. It's computer generated audio from text files. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. This is just fine. Let me see. Was there anything else? New application process. Oh, yeah. You have to apply. Can I apply? Apply to be a member.
Apply for what? What are you applying for?
To become a member of the Pod Standards Group.
Oh, don't do that.
Okay.
Then they're gonna send you more emails and invite you to a Slack channel. You don't want that.
A Slack channel. And I have a feeling their meetings aren't 30 minutes.
No,
guaranteed.
I like the way this works right now, where they have meetings and then they just email us the blog post and say, hey, what do y'all think?
What do you think? Yeah, it's good. Perfect.
I prefer to stick with that model.
Works for me. Works for me.
I've got some more namespace stuff if you want to.
Yeah. Well, then let me get the, missed this.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Yeah, because all I had was lukewarm. Dave's bringing heat. Dave's bringing the heat to the namespace talk.
Your stuff was tepid.
Tepid. Sorry. I'm sorry for being tepid.
The funding tag.
Ah, my favorite.
You're a fan of the funding tag.
I am.
I realized something last night. I was doing some work and realized that the funding tag is only for the channel level. And it feels like it should be, that feels like an artificial restraint.
And where it should be item level as well?
Yeah.
No, I'm completely all in on that. I agree. Okay. Done. Next. It has to be. I think it's critical. I think it's critical. I didn't even realize that it was channel level only.
I didn't either.
And I also wish that apps would make clear what it is, you know, because, well, obviously funding is just a name in the namespace, but it's really either support this or donate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think those are the terms that fit best. Mm-hmm. You know, use your own discretion. Podcast Guru, let me see. I don't quite like their implementation, although it is my daily driver.
I heard you throw Jason under the bus on the new media show about the funding tag.
Well, that's not throwing him under the bus. That's constructive criticism.
Okay, you put his toe under a tire.
And rolled and then hit the gas.
And backed over it again. Yeah.
So if I'm in an episode, obviously it doesn't show, which makes sense because it's channel level only. And if I'm, let me see if I do this right. So if I go to the channel level, so support this podcast is under the menu bar, but not visible in the UI. I think that was my complaint. It's like, hey man, you should make it. Okay. And yes, it should be visible when you're playing the podcast. That's the ultimate moment. And there's 50% screen space on Podcast Guru to put it in there. I'd love to have that at the item level. So can we change the namespace? Can we change that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like we should. I cannot imagine anybody having a problem with this. If I haven't heard from anybody that this is a problem in, you know, by the end of the weekend, I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
Good.
I'll document it. I'll document the change and make sure everybody knows about it. But I just don't see how this could possibly be a problem. This is the stuff that drives everybody crazy. The true running with scissors stuff. When we have a discussion like this, and we're like, yeah, I'm just going to change it.
Right.
Everybody's like, whoa, whoa.
What? Well, you make it optional, right? You make it optional to be item level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
So, we can all sit here for 2 seconds and imagine of many scenarios where this would apply.
Well, now I understand why Podcast Guru wasn't floating my boat because it's not an item level thing. So when you're just playing the podcast, it's not going to show up. I mean, it could, but just thinking from a developer standpoint, oh no, this is when you're looking at the whole list of the podcasts, when you're basically looking at the channel, that's where support this podcast shows up. I completely understand how that flows through to a developer in putting that feature in.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's also at the item level, hello, Stephen Bell, I need that at the item level. Then it makes sense because there's just a piece of data sitting like, oh, I need to put this piece of data into the individual item on the item player page. So I completely understand. So Jason, I love you, man. Mm-hmm. I did not mean to be throwing you under the bus. I was just bumping you.
When you're at indie app developer, you have steel-toed boots.
You have to have boots like that.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that we get some wallet solution pretty soon. Any word from the Zebedee folks yet? Nothing yet, I presume.
Well, I mean, they're kind of waiting on me because I've set up my developer account on there, but I haven't had a chance to code on it because of this other thing that I've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you mean the robot we're building?
The robot.
What is he building?
This thing is awesome.
It'll do your laundry. Robot. It'll do your laundry. You watch.
I so wish we were building a robot. I hadn't had a chance. I'm hoping to get to it this week where I can set up a little dim, you know, like a sandbox type app. Just check it out.
Cool.
One thing happened this week.
A funny thing happened on the way to the office. Yes.
A funny thing happened in the aggregator.
Oh, yeah. I read about this.
You did?
Yes. This is the delayed surfacing of a particular feed?
No. That's the ungovernable misfits feed, which those guys are crazy anyway.
It's in the title. The problem is in the title.
Your ungovernable misfits.
It's like, yeah.
He's like, it's not showing up. And Steven's like, they're ungovernable misfits. What do you expect?
Exactly.
No, I'm talking about a different issue that Oscar emailed me about. He emailed me a link. Can I find this feed? Hang on. I just got the Boostergram blitz in my email, so I'm going to have to go back through here and find it. Oscar, here we go. All right. This is podcast ID 311232. Let's see what that goes to. 311232. Yeah, the ABP. ABP Audio Bible Podcast.com. Mm-hmm. The World English Bible Blended Mix.
Oh, I think I spoke to these guys. Do they have 8,000 versions of the Bible?
Probably.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where's.
What's it called again?
Hey, what's going on with my internet?
Okay, what's wrong with the internet? What's it called?
It's podcast index ID 311232. It's the ABP World English Bible Blended Mix January start.
Wow.
Audio.
Okay.
Bible.
That didn't work very well.
Podcast.com. Let me search that way. Oh, Lord, they got a lot of Bibles.
What are you searching by?
I searched for audiobiblepodcast.com.
Okay.
Yeah, they got World English Bible, King James Version.
Right.
1 hour a day, April start, November start, January. Whoa, they've got, this must be like a through the Bible in a year type of thing.
Yes. They got going. Yes, they had a read for every, I think they reached out to me. I'm like, you guys should do it in the index. And then they showed up. And so what happened? What's the problem?
Well, okay. So the issue was, Oscar said, there's no, this episode, like there's this episode that's not showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on this specific one, this World English Bible Blended Mix January start. And he gave me the episode that's not showing up. And so I started looking through the feed and the GUIDs in this feed are like, here's, okay.
So oh, they're, the GUID, oh, they in, messed up the GUIDs.
Well, it's fit. So here's the GUID. The GUID for one of the episodes is 15, or I'll just say the numbers, 15.267. The next GUID is 15.268, 15.269, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So then two of the episode that was missing was episode with a GUID 15.26.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But there was one right beside it in the items table with, so it was, the one that was missing was 16.26. The one, and, but there was one in there with 16.260 uh-huh. as the GUID.
Uh-huh.
So what does that tell you? It's quiz time.
Give me the question again.
So there's two episodes in the feed. One has a GUID of 16.26. Another one has a GUID of 16.260. Only 16.26 is showing up.
Oh, because of the zero at the end will be ignored?
Yeah, it was part. Yes, it was parsing. The aggregator was parsing the GUID as a number. And dropping the zero, oh, so you had a GUID conflict.
As an integer instead of a string.
Specifically as a float or a double.
Oh, yeah, that's float. What I meant to say, as a float or a double.
Well, in JavaScript, there is no such thing as a float or a double. I think everything is a double, but there's only one type called number.
Mm.
And it's just everything's a double.
Mm.
So they can be represented by a decimal, you know, notation number. And even, but so the XML parser that I use called FastXML Parser. It has a bunch of controls to get around this, but none of them work very well. Like it's a very poorly documented aspect of this parser to try to tell it not to parse things as a number.
Hmm.
And well, none of them.
You know what this is, don't you? We need to praise God for finding this bug for us.
What, through the Bible?
Yeah.
specifically Isaiah 52. Thou goods will be incomplete.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. That was a good bug find. That was a good one. He broke the parser.
I got it fixed, but I don't like the fix.
A Bible bug. There you go. It's a Bible bug.
It's a Bible bug, yeah.
Okay, so the fix, yeah, gotcha.
Well, the fix is ugly right now. Mm. It is. I'm afraid.
Sorry.
This could be like one of those things where you try to fix it and you end up having like a, you know, bombing out the entire aggregator with some weird thing that you don't understand, mm-hmm. because you're making all the ways to fix this with the parser itself, with this FastXML parser, are sort of like blunt instrument type fixes.
Yeah. Give me an example.
Like, well, it's like stop parsing anything as a number.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know what's going on there.
Right, right.
And I don't want to just roll that thing out and then all of a sudden have another cascade of bugs happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what I ended up doing for now is I just...
Exception.
Exactly. Manual. If feed ID equals 3-1-1-2-3-2. Yeah. Then don't, you know, basically just turn off all parsing for the GUID field.
Right.
So anyway, it was interesting. You see you get into RSS parsing and you see the kitchen sink, man.
Oh, you see the kitchen sink. You see the plumbing. You see that gob of hair down at the bottom of the pipe. You see it all. Nasty. But,
like what even are these GUIDs? Like what is, so here's,
you got to, what's the generator? What was the feed generator?
Ooh, it's a good question. Let me see here.
Let's go to the source.
Not documented.
Okay. Home baked. Monks.
Webmaster.
Monks the webmaster's in Tibet.
the webmaster's email address is in here. It is xb64tg3yfc at leahmakins.com/webmonkey, which is not an, I don't even understand what that means.
Whoa.
Webmonkey.
Webmonkey. Why does that sound familiar? Webmonkey. Webmonkey. Let me see what Webmonkey is. Webmonkey.
Is that the guy that did the No Agenda website?
No.
Is that his handle?
No, that's no.
CodeMonkey.
He's CodesMonkey. Mm. Webmonkey reference. Whatever happened to webmonkey.com? I just remember Code
that
Monkey.
Term.
Yeah, I remember WebMonkey being some kind of. Yeah, WebMonkey, the site, it's gone. The site that turned humble web developers into attention grabbing authors.
Oh, WebMonkey. Was that? That was the thing, like a tutorial site or something for web development?
I think so.
That's right. But these, I don't know what these GUIDs are. So like this item is day 267.
That's got to be a Bible in a year thing.
Yes, day 267, and the GUID is 15.267. What is, I don't know what
Isaiah,
15
is. Isaiah 15? What book was it?
Isaiah 32,
okay.
30.
No, can't correlate that.
I understand now what they're doing. Oh, okay. Okay. So since they're doing it by days, you're going to have a day 26 and you're going to have a day 260.
Yes.
Okay.
So all it's a day delimiter. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's what it is. If they had put something else in there, like even one single letter in the GUID, then it would not have parsed that way. But we need to be, this is not their fault. We need to be able to handle whatever's thrown at us.
Well, that's a good catch.
It's weird.
I love how the whole community came together to figure that one out.
Well, now that I see that there's a whole bunch of these, I'm going to have to put in, the better fix is going to be just looking for this, you know,
pattern.
The real fix is to go test grep pipe. Yeah, there you go. Grep pipe. There you go. Got it.
That's my solution to everything. Regex.
The right fix is to just tweak the parser where it's not doing this.
With that solved, I have a 2 minute and 28 second song for us today.
Yay.
Which is brand new from Ainsley Costello. I would play anything by Ainsley, sound unheard, sight unseen. And she's got some nice guitar licks in this one. So we'll play it. It is Change Your Mind, new from Ainsley Costello.
Looks nice on a screen, straight out of a magazine. Go ahead, show some skin, doesn't mean that it's for him. He makes a joke, it doesn't land, doesn't mean that you have to laugh. Puts his hand on your back, you can say I don't like that. If he cares and he pays for the day, doesn't mean that you have to take him home. You can kiss in the dark while parked in a car and then send him home alone. I've been there before, and he might want more. If it isn't going how you thought it might, nothing's set in stone and you can change your. Don't have to feel any shame. It's not your fault, you're not to blame. You don't owe him anything. If he cares and he pays for the day, it doesn't mean that you have to take him home. You can kiss in the dark while parked in a car and then send him home alone. I've been there before, and he might want more. If it isn't going how you thought it might, nothing's set in stone and you can change your.
From Ainsley Costello, in the boardroom, Change Your Mind, now available everywhere in the Valueverse.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Everything she does is good.
Yeah, I like that guitar, man. I like that. That sounds like a real guitar guy, too.
A real guitar. Yeah, not fake guitar
not
guy.
Not a fake guitar guy, like a real guitar guy. Exactly.
So you said PayPal is going to take Bitcoin payments. Do you know any more information about that?
So Dvorak sent me an email. He was mad. It's like, heads up, good news and bad news. He said, bad news first. PayPal is breaking all their existing links. Because, you know, we have a PayPal rep. We have an actual human we can contact. They say, well, we're going to train you on how to do the new links. So all legacy links will apparently break. That was the bad news. And that's where John was mad. Like, let's break something that doesn't need fixing. Let's fix something that doesn't need breaking. It isn't broken. There you go. He said, the good news is they told him on the phone that they will be accepting Bitcoin payments straight through to fiat. So you send the Bitcoin, and I don't know if that's on-chain only or if they'll do Lightning, but I'm pretty sure if they don't do it now, they will. Mm-hmm. And then you receive it in your PayPal account as fiat money. And that will, that for Dvorak is okay, which means we can finally start accepting Bitcoin on no agenda. And okay, of course, so I hope that they implement Lightning.
Let's see. Let me look at.
There's no announcement as far as I know.
Okay. I think I saw a news article about it that mentioned it though.
Really?
It may have been Bitcoin Magazine.
That would be surprising.
I'm looking articles. What do you bet that this, oh, here it is. Yeah. PayPal enables business accounts to buy, hold, and sell Bitcoin and crypto. Okay. So that may
That's different. That's not different. That's different.
Do y'all have y'all are business account? I'm assuming
that. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, at least y'all let's see. Okay. Here. So you just jog my memory on this. New media show, your PayPal link in your funding tag, Todd and Rob, is broken.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
If you click through on your funding tag link, it goes to a page on paypal.com that says something's not right. This page does not exist. So whatever it is, you got to fix that.
Yeah, I had to fix the one on Currying the Keeper.
Was it broken?
Yeah, it was still going. It was still going to what's that? The same thing we had to change on the index for the on-chain stuff. What was that thing called?
Oh, Tallycoin.
Tallycoin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was still going there, so I changed.
Oh,
that.
I put out another audiobook.
Oh, you did?
Audiobook. Yeah.
Oh.
It is, and this time I did. You know, I'm doing the tour of hosting companies.
Oh, what's it called? I want to subscribe.
This is called An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge by Ambrose Bierce. I will link it.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
in the nice. Boardroom.
Do you mind if I play a little piece of it?
Yeah, feel free. Yeah.
Banjo!
Yeah.
Are you playing the banjo?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, man, I love you, Dave Jones. You're so awesome.
A man stood upon a railroad bridge in northern Alabama, looking down into the swift water 20 feet below. The man's hands were behind his back.
And he jumped and he drowned.
Bound with a cord.
Cool, I'll listen to that. I'll listen to your audiobooks. One episode, are more coming, or is the whole thing in one... one deal.
It's just one. It's a short story.
Nice picture. Is that AI picture or is that the real deal?
It is. Tough. It is Midjourney.
Nice.
Very I'm starting to get the hang of the whole Midjourney thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. It's like you have to get something that doesn't look like typical Midjourney fluff. Yeah. You have to tell it things like
don't look like Midjourney fluff.
Yeah, stupid stuff like that. Yeah, you have to say things like, and it's so funny how you reverse engineer. No, you first have to know that everything that is getting all of its content from the internet.
Yeah.
So then you think like you would with an internet site. So you can say things like picture taken with a Nikon camera.
Right.
And that's probably going to be starting to pull off things like Flickr-ish type sites that are actual pictures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're sort of gaming the right. system from the standpoint of it's ripping off other people's content.
I like it. I like it.
But anyway, so I did this one on RSS.com.
Mm-hmm. And your experience? Are you going to do a review later, an audiobook about your trip around all the hosting companies?
The tour of hosting companies. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should. I should put that out. Yeah, I should do that.
All right. I'm going to keep you on a schedule.
Everybody mad at me.
I'm going to keep you on a schedule, baby. It's a summer hours, so Dave's got to go back to the day job. So I'm going to thank a few people.
Oh, already? Well, I didn't give my review of my RSS.com experience.
I'm sorry.
do your review.
It was great. They have auto transcripts.
You should do a review podcast. Today's review is RSS.com. It was great.
And then banjo, and then the banjo outro.
Play us out, baby.
Play us out. Fade out. The UI is great. They have auto transcripts, which was nice. So I was able to just go boop, transcript. Didn't have to do anything extra. Just hit the button. They had Albi integrated into the UI, so I just put in my Albi address, and it stuck a value block in there. Nice. And they said. And they gave a little button that said, do you want to add us as a split? And I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, so I added them as a split.
Oh, nice.
Podping shot it into the index immediately.
Created the entry. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. And then they allowed me to put a pod roll. So I put a pod roll in there with
all your other books.
All my other short stories. Yep.
Nice.
Yep. So it was great. Good interface. Great experience.
I will be listening.
Next up is Buzzsprout.
I will be listening to this audiobook on my walk right after the show with Phoebe.
And I think so. I'm doing Buzzsprout next, and I think RSS.com and Buzzsprout both require you. They can tag it as an audio as a medium equals audiobook, but you have to just tell you have to contact support and ask them for it.
I was
and
just then about, do it just for about you. To ask. Did you do that?
I did. I just contacted Alberto, and he was like, he said, done.
Let me just check. Let me see. Just verify.
Oh, trust but verify. Good idea. Yes.
Medium equals audiobook. Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Good job. You need to have their background music equals banjo.
It's back. It's a tag for banjo. banjo tag.
We want to thank Harv Hat for boosting in during the show with 17,776 sats. A big independence boost. Silas on Linux has been boosting all day long. 500 sats from Fountain. Just an idea. Adding text into the funding tag to be displayed in a button would that be too much? Like if the podcaster decides to put donate or support, or if they want to link to a charity or something else, text for the button itself or description of some sort. Interesting idea. It's already there.
There's already a textual component to it.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. I mean, like the funding, there's a link text fund, you have a link, and then you have the text for the funding for the link.
Let me see. Let me see where
it's in there already.
It's under show info. I'm just looking at CurioCaster. Owner info, support links. Oh, yeah. Phrase to ask for support. Uh-huh. Yeah, that would be nice. Real estate is always tough on the apps, though.
Yeah, so for sure.
We got to bear that in mind. Good idea. It's done. Another happy customer. Rove Ducks from Salty Crayon. Howdy, Boardroom. Just wanted to say thanks to Chada for helping Oscar be aware of Fountain users not being able to boost the artist directly because of a broken value time split and not showing up in Helipad. All good so far. Thanks, brother. Go podcasting. Yes. Yes, I saw that conversation, too. That was a great debug. That went so fast. That was fantastic. It was fixed very, very quickly.
Fill me in on what you're talking about.
Oh, so in the, you know, just another bug found, Fountain was not sending along the TLV records on a value time split.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I did see that.
Yeah. 1,000 sats from Sam Sethi, True Fans, has already extended the podcast taxonomy in our app to include a label for AI. We only use this if the hosts are AI, e.g. Google Notes LM. But they should have, it should just automatically filter to its own podcast. It's always the same. It's the same two people. Mm-hmm. We need, they uploaded a manual for their Sony head unit for their car stereo.
No way.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I bet
that's super funny.
I can play.
That as a podcast.
I can play a little bit
of it. Okay, so you're about to install a new car stereo.
Dive deep.
The tools ready. Excitement building. But
there's something hilarious right in the beginning. Wait for it.
Before you toss those instruction manuals aside.
Yeah, hold on. Don't do that.
We're actually diving into that often ignored treasure trove of knowledge today with the Sony XAV-1500E manual.
Yeah, because honestly, those manuals are way more interesting than them credit for.
Oh, yeah, right. They're way more interesting. Now, wait for it.
Like, it's not just about connecting wires. It's about unlocking a whole world of features and understanding the tech that's shaping the modern driving experience.
It's true. Yeah. And this Sony manual, well, let me tell you, it doesn't disappoint. I mean, where else are you going to find a warning about not eating batteries right off the bat?
Seriously. Page one, safety precautions, and boom, there it is. Do not ingest the battery.
That is actually pretty good. That was
comedy.
Entertaining.
That's the first funny thing AI has ever generated by itself without even trying to be funny. That's what made it so good. Just got 5,000 from CLOS on Linux. Well, there you go. Lol, I didn't know it had a text thing already. Didn't want to look through the tag specific on my phone and hadn't used the funny tag yet. Just came to mind. Okay, brother, no problem. thank you, Eric PP, for your 3333. We move on to, Sam Sethi, right? Not all AI needs to be labeled. Thank you, Sam. Another 1,000 from Sam. Like Mastodon, he says, add a real equals me to the href, and now you have a verification. Well, that could be done at any time. That's an easy way to do it. Triple sevens from Sam. Wow. How funny. A virtual podcast summit. I think there's sarcasm in there. No idea about it, as no invite, so no mention on Pod News Weekly. Well, there you go. I suggested this online event back in April, as I did two online podcast festivals in 2019 with Kara Swisher and James Cridlin. Is there an archive of that? I'd love to hear that. My online podcast 2.0 event was poo-pooed by the PSP group, so they wanted an IRL event at Podcast Movement, but no uptake. So I'm doing an IRL PodCamp 2.0 event in May of 2025. Guess this event is the same format as Ainsley Music event. C'est la vie. All right. Well, I wouldn't take it personally, Sam. We have another 5,000 from CLOS on Linux. He says there, I believe, is already a thing called social AI. It's social media, but everything is AI generated. Everything, profiles and posts and everything. I didn't try it. I think it's iOS only, the most tech bro idea possible. We have moved far away from the invention of the telephone, tech used to connect people far apart. Yes. Bad career advice, Chad. Will there be any podcasting 2.0 contingent at Permissionless 3 in October?
Well, what is that?
I don't know. Permissionless
3. Is that 3. A conference?
Sounds like another Bitcoin conference, probably.
Permissionless 3. I've not heard of that.
Yes.
No, is the answer.
No, no. Yes. And then we're into the, I do a pre-stream, so a lot of people boosted for the pre-stream stuff. And
Permissionless 3 from Blockworks.
Oh, yeah.
It's a conference for founders, application developers, and users.
Yes.
Yikes, no.
All right. Why don't you tell me what kind of boost you got there, Dave?
Oh, I guess, I left the office and forgot to write down the PayPals this morning.
Oh.
And so I'm going to have to, they're all mixed in. So I'm going to have to read them off my email, which I hate. So let's see. Michael Goggin. $5. These are the monthlies and the one-timers. Yes.
They're mixed. Yes.
Yep. Michael Goggin, $5. Thank you, Michael. Jorge Hernandez, $5. Charles Current, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. Thank you, Christopher. Cohen Glossbach, $5. One day I'm going to come to understand I've been saying his name wrong for 4 years. James Sullivan, $10. Thank you, James. This was a one-off. This was $17.01, which we know is a Star Trek donation.
Yes, we do.
From Archie, and he says, here to help. Go podcasting.
Yeah, thank you, Archie.
I wonder if that's, pseudo, or I'm sorry. God, what's his handle? You know, Archie, that helps, he's sysadmins for Mitch and the Podverse boys.
Oh, I don't know his handle.
It's like SU pipe pipe.
Yeah. SU pipe pipe. Five in the pipe.
Super pipe. Yeah. All right. Jordan Dunville, $10. Thank you, Jordan. Dreb Scott, $15.
Thank you, Dreb.
Thank you, Dreb. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Chris Bernardick, $5. And that's it. That's our PayPal, so I can get some boosts.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it so much.
Let's see. And okay, this is how pro I am now.
Uh-oh.
That I realized that I forgot to send the boosts before I left the office. And I did that while we were talking about grep pipe.
Wow.
I pulled out my laptop, remoted in to the
office machine.
to the server, to the pipe pal server.
Yeah.
And send the thing. Wow. And you never even knew it.
No, I had no idea. Just like I do those end of show ISOs. You never know I'm doing it.
I never even know. the beauty of audio. Yes. Mm-hmm. Cole McCormick, 2222. He says, Dave, the magic of Midjourney is not that it spits out something pretty decent the first time. There's a new type of creative process you need to experiment with.
Uh-oh.
It's not just about variance. Use the blend feature and describe.
Ooh,
look at how it describes your personal images and craft your prompts based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, give it specific instructions on how the logo is shaped. If you used, quote, a logo for, unquote, then I see why you feel the way you do. But in my opinion, there is something special about Midjourney. I used it for my short film and a drop shipping store and was very pleased with what I got. Experiment more.
Okay.
Well, I am. I am experimenting. Yep. Thank you, Cole. Appreciate that advice. Gina Everett, 3333, through Fountain. He says, I will give Fountain some grace. Just been frustrated at the Noster switch up. Fountain was finally way less buggy for the past year, but I understand they're trying the best and working hard.
Oh, yeah.
Just really loved that app before.
Yeah, we had asked them to give the devs some grace.
And he did, and he finishes by saying all love. So yes. Thank you, Gene. Appreciate that, brother. Chris Lass, that's Chris from Jupiter Broadcasting.
Yeah.
20,000 sats through Fountain. He says, just wanted to say I really appreciate the work you guys do behind the scenes for the us podcasters out here. Also, plus one to the idea of putting the on-chain address in the funding tag.
Yeah.
I've definitely heard from a few listeners who would support via on-chain because that's what they already have, where they already have their sats.
Oh, good. It's a good idea. I just opened up.
He just
sent me an email. Chris is like, hey, man, can I have a big boy channel from the index?
A big boy
channel. So we opened
a milk on a man channel.
Yeah, we opened a big boy channel to Chris over there at Jupiter because he's getting a lot of boosts on that This Week in Bitcoin show.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Chris Lass, again, 20,000 sats through Fountain. He says, in my humble opinion, we have let the crypto skeptics get inside our heads. I think as a community, we should lean into the fact that boosts are powered by a Bitcoin. As a small business, I'm grateful to have support in a hard asset. It's helped me fight inflation and keep my head above water. Bitcoin is an intelligence test, and I don't need everyone in the world listening. I want a great audience, but not the biggest audience possible. These are the things we should lean into as podcasting community trying to offer an alternative to mainstream crap. Go podcasting.
I'm going to disagree.
Really? With what part?
With the go podcasting. No, I'm going to disagree with that we should only be showing boosts in sats. I think some apps can, any app can choose whatever they want to do, but I think there's a bigger audience. And he does a Bitcoin podcast, so I understand. Mm-hmm. I think we need to have, I'd love to have both. Some show both, most don't. I think in order to get the general audience in, you need to show fiat money. So I'm just not all in on showing sats. I don't need to orange pill everybody.
I think we're going to end up with both solutions anyway.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. I want both for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Gene Bean. Who is not Gene Everett, 1337 through Castomatic. He says, Gravatar is still a thing that's widely supported.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
I agree.
You can put it in.
Gene Bean again, 1337 through Castomatic. He says, for this banner and other extras for the feed, why are we reinventing things? If we want to make something easily consumable for sharing and many other things, we should start with OpenGraph as the base, a schema already exists that supports many things and could be extended to have a podcast namespace, a la structured data under a podcast namespace. How would that work? Open graph in RSS.
No, that's an interesting thought. I have to think about that.
So I'm guessing he's saying define an OG namespace, an open graph namespace. Is there one already?
I don't know.
For some reason,
there might be.
Open graph name space XML. Open graph namespace declaration. There's an XMLNS for it, but I only see it used in an HTML an XHTML context. I have to look at the names. I have to look at the XMLNS document.
It's worth looking up
because that is a pretty neat idea.
Yeah,
because then you could just stick that in there. Yeah. Okay.
Onward. I got to get you out.
Onward. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Where are we at? Oh, Gene Bean again through Fountain 2222 says, come on, Adam. Leave your hatred of liberals and politics in general to other shows. This is a podcast boardroom, not a political podcast.
What did I do?
You said libtards on the last show.
Oh, yeah. But I was actually being super kind by giving Rachel Maddow as a prime example and trying to help her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, geez, sorry. Didn't know you were so sensitive. Please.
Anonymous, 5,000 sats. Go podcasting.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Let's see. Anonymous podcast guru user, 250 sats. Kara Frazier is a badass.
Oh, that was the song I think I played.
Wow, that's from an old episode. That's from episode 189, All Carrot, No Stick.
Yeah, yeah. People go back and check stuff, man. You know, that's how it goes.
They're back cataloging us. Oh, here we go. Delimiter, comic strip blogger, 23,000 sats.
There he Fountain. Is.
Howdy, fellow Bitcoiners, Adam and Dave. Today, I'd like to encourage your Bitcoin-savvy audience to donate to the podcast hosted by Adam Curry, Curry and the Keeper.
Yeah.
Available at www.curryandthekeeper.com. They need your Bitcoin to rise on the V4V leaderboard, so don't hesitate. Please send them some Bitcoin Satoshis. Yo, CSB.
That's right. You know, Curry and the Keeper is often in the top 10 on Fountain. I'm very proud of that. We've gotten our audience to step up. It's good. It's good.
This show was fading, but now we've staged a comeback.
We have. And I just want to welcome Matthew, who is going to be hired by Libsyn, who will apparently be interacting with the 2.0 folks. That's the way it was brought to us. So Matthew, nice. Hit me up and we'll get you a podcastindex.social login.
We'll have Matthew on the show.
There you go. Excellent idea. Dave, yeah. I got to get you out, brother. I got to get you back to work. Otherwise, you know, these board meetings, we might have a strike. Can't have that.
Strike, yes. Yes.
All right.
I think we solved a lot of stuff today.
We did. We did. Once again, the board meeting is genius. Have a great weekend, brother.
No, you too.
And everybody in the boardroom, thank you very much. Join me on my social network, hashtag Adam. We'll see you next week.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Exception.